All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Ha! No Joel Blank today. And April, and Abel, I guess. Might be April if it continues as it started. Abel substitute in for him, hopefully, anyway. We'll find out here over the next 3 hours. Jerome Solomon should be a good day, I would hope.
What's up, man?
Not much, man. It's been a hectic, hectic morning.
Yeah.
All kinds of things going on. I'm all over the place. I got stuck with Burger King for breakfast / lunch. You know,
now, I'm no writer with a great vocabulary, but you look a bit discombobulated.
I'm kind of all over the place, and then when I need about 3 minutes to settle in...
Show starts.
No, Barry Warner did.
Oh.
So that's what he was going to say, too.
That threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I you know...
Dude.
Shoulder checked him and moved on. Now, Barry's my guy. So.
I tried, I guess, to get him away from you because... He's in a mood today because he started chasing me around the studio like I was some like secretary in the 80s and he was trying to feel me up or something. Well, it was very weird.
At his age, he has those flashbacks.
He does.
You know, he kind of, you know, you're wearing a black tight top. So
yeah. He was like, let me see up under that skirt.
I've seen a black tight top before. It was 1938.
And then
she was fine.
He chased me out. I come back in. He's chasing me again. And then at one point he goes, that's it. You know what? And he takes his shirt off. I have no idea. It was like I saw a Jewish bear coming at me. It was the weirdest thing.
And he was yelling.
And he was screaming. And I'm like, why is Barry Warner taking his shirt off and running at me?
You were some chick from 1938
apparently,
with
a
tight black top on. And, you know, you got breasts.
He had some sexual... Hey, now, I've been working on that, Jerome. That's not nice.
They're there. What?
I'm down to a B cup, thank you. I don't need...
You're the one chose not to wear a bra today. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. The Usual Suspects today. And obviously, without question, I mean, we do need to kind of start the show off on a little bit of a...
Oh, my God. I cannot believe you guys... are you wearing a shag carpet? What? I have...
If I were you, Warner, I'd walk in.
I have never seen someone so hairy. How do you get gray back hair?
Is this streaming video of this? Because I hate to imagine that we're the only two people being tortured.
I'm taking a picture of this and
like
putting
this
on the internet.
Silverback.
You're a silver front.
Yeah, you're like a silver front.
Back in it. Like, and your belly button is like...
It's like a child's penis.
It's called a hiatal hernia.
It's called a 2 year old.
They do medical procedures to remove those.
I refuse to have that because it's very painful and it's a trademark.
It's called a 2 year old penis.
But when babies are born that way, they fix that.
No, we call it a bris in the Jewish tradition.
A what?
A bris.
Did you have to have your belly button circumcised too?
You're supposed to.
The optics are part of the moil.
Barry Warner's the only guy that was born with a foreskin on his belly button.
I can't believe we're doing a sports show and talking about Barry Warner's belly button. What the hell have I gotten myself into?
Well, Jerome, you know, to get a reaction out of you,
God,
this is off the rails.
Terrorizing
this is bad television, and we're not even on the air. Worse radio.
I don't think this will make your Sunday night Sports Nation.
No.
This picture, though, is going to go viral. I'll tell you that much.
Do what you want, but it's his fault.
It's his fault. You know what? You kind of look like an old school wrestler. You know how sometimes they're just barrel chested? Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you look like Wahoo McDaniel after he cut all his hair off. That was when he and he would take off the headdress and there was no hair there and it was just sad and his shorts didn't fit, the trunks were they weren't tight and you didn't know if those were balls or a bowel movement hanging down, you know, that's keep your pants on, please.
He crapped the front of his pants. Barry, I gotta admit, you're in good shape for your age. I'm not even lying to you. You need to shave a few places, but you are in good shape for what, 93?
70.
Oh, 73. My bad. Oh, but Lord. you're still in good shape
for 73.
You're jealous. Runners do not have hair in their chest.
For 73, okay? You're dead.
That's, I mean, let's tell you something. You may be able to have rhythm, and you may be able to dance, and you may be able to play hoops, but brothers don't have the carpet. And well,
I thought you were going to throw out watermelon next on that one.
Always a pleasure, Jerome. It's always a pleasure to see
you. You're my man, Barry. You know that.
This is nuts.
When I was on, the Texans propaganda network. Jerome had direct access to the hotline, so he'd listen, and if I say something, he'd just pick up the phone, and I go, come on, you get on the air, and let's just kind of do it.
Yeah.
But he was the only person in Houston.
That would call and correct you?
No, that had, but he had
access. Oh, that had the hotline, I got you.
Whenever he wanted to call, I was, and I never knew what would come out, and most of the time it was raining on my parade.
Of course.
What the heck, that's what it's for.
I get that on Sunday sometimes.
Hey guys, have a great show, continue doing what you're doing. Jerome, roses are red, violets are blue, with the last name of Solomon, I thought you were a Jew. Chirp.
That rhyme.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was very Joe Blank to do the rhyming.
Yeah. Well, my lunch is on the move now.
I am scarred. I did not.
And Nick, if you go to on Twitter, at the producer Nick, he posted the best photo he could find. It's actually from behind.
Oh, so God.
You don't want to see the front.
No, I'm going to tweet the front out, but it looks like his butt crack goes up between his shoulder blades. On this picture. How do you get up?
You saying he's all ass?
Yeah, like his ass goes from the back of his knee to the back of his neck. How do you get that much butt crack all the way up there? This is craziness.
What a way to ruin the beginning of the show. And I was in the middle of something very serious and very deep. And I'm not going to go to break until we do that.
Okay.
And it's because on a day like this, we would be remiss if we didn't start off on a somber note, you know, especially with the news of the day that should have most of the world shook up in a lot of ways. You know, Andre Johnson is retiring as a Texan, and I need a minute.
Hang in there. Hang in there, Jerome.
Hey, I love me some Andre Johnson, but I've always been against the signing for a day and retiring as a day kind of guy. So yeah. I can't change now just because Dre is my guy.
You're hating
and
this?
Like, what's the point? What difference does it actually make?
Are you really going to hate on it?
No, I'm not hating on it. I've always hated it. I've always not understood it, and I still don't understand it. What's the point?
But don't you have to retire from that team to be able to go in the Hall of Fame and represent that team?
No.
So you don't need
to. And in the NFL, you don't represent a team at all going into the Hall of Fame.
That's true.
You're who you are. In Major League Baseball, the player gets the Hall of Fame, the player chooses what cap he's going to wear, and it can be from a team he played for in his first 10 years or whatever. It doesn't matter. So, no, it's completely symbolic, and I don't understand it because he should very well be, and we could discuss it if somebody wants to be foolish and argue it, he should be the first Texan inducted into their Ring of Honor that they do not have right now, and they should go ahead and put that up, et cetera. But retiring he didn't retire as a Texan because he didn't play did he catch his last ball as a Texan? He caught a touchdown in his last game as a Texan against Jacksonville, but he played other games for other teams. He's not retiring a Texan. It's paperwork.
Well, I thought it was the formality of being able to represent that team in the Hall. So I was mistaken on that then. Yeah. So then it doesn't make as much sense now.
Yeah, it's another day to celebrate a guy, and I don't have a problem with you celebrating him, you know, because like I said, Dre's my guy.
But, yeah.
You know, I've always wondered why, and I still do. I think Emmitt Smith may have done it.
Yeah.
I'm going off the top of my head, but every time it happened, I was like, so? We know you were a Cowboy. It doesn't matter if you your last game was with Arizona. You come back and play a game.
Yeah.
Then I can say he retired as a Cowboy.
Somebody asked, I think that was my wife, and I didn't know the answer, but did Favre go back and sign a one-day contract with Green Bay?
I don't think Green Bay welcomed him back.
That's what I was curious about.
He didn't come back until much late. He just made it back last year, as a matter of fact. So, no, he didn't come back and retire as a Packer.
Okay.
But he's a Green Bay Packer. He played for the Jets and the Vikings, but
he's a Packer.
Green Bay Packer for life, no doubt about it. 713-780-ESPN is your number. That's the text line and the phone line. You're more than welcome to join in. We're gonna, as you can tell, we'll have a good time. The day started off
crazy
with Barry making fun of dead people. That's not right.
What?
I mean, a guy kills himself.
Yeah.
The low life of a guy, you know, I mean, but still, that's not funny.
Sure it is. He murdered people. He murdered two people, Jerome.
But it's not funny.
But he murdered two people.
Okay.
I'm not going to feel bad for the guy.
I didn't say you feel bad for him. I said it's not funny.
No.
OJ
says you.
OJ situation wasn't funny until a few weeks later. At the time, it wasn't funny. It's too soon.
Okay, I'll wait a week. All right, we'll do it in the third hour. I'll make all my Aaron Hernandez jokes.
By 4 o'clock.
Thank you.
Aaron Hernandez, you know, and it would be interesting if he did not commit suicide. And it is a strange time for him to commit suicide, though.
After getting acquitted on those
two. He got acquitted on the double murder. A lot of the evidence that came into there would have been a factor in his appeal for the initial conviction of murdering Odin Lloyd. So, you know, who knows what may have been in effect there. So,
very weird. Very strange.
Clearly, he didn't want to breathe anymore, though. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We have, Nick Mathis?
Tim Mathis at 1:30.
Tim Mathis will be coming and join us on the show. Anything else we have today, since this is your show?
It's Way Back Wednesday, so we're playing today's theme is remakes. So this is Nick's first one. Nick's going first hour. And what is this, Nick, for your Way Back Wednesday?
This is Limp Bizkit Faith.
Limp Bizkit Faith, which was originally done by George Michael.
Of what? Something from
George Michael's Faith. Yeah. So there you go. It's Way Back Wednesday. I'll go hour two.
We think Jerome will go hour three.
We don't know.
That doesn't sound anything like George Michael version.
Well, you caught the tail end of the song, so here you go.
But you the DJ.
Does that sound similar?
God, that sounds horrible.
George Michael's version was a classic. This is Limp Bizkit.
Fred Durst.
Oh man, that's not too awful. I haven't heard that before, so I'm not as you can tell a huge Limp Bizkit fan. But I'll take the third hour, and we'll have some actual classic music.
Oh, okay, we'll see.
I'll make something up then anyway. Hey, tennis star is pregnant, and everybody's talking about it. So we'll talk about it when we come back. This is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 975.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back into The Usual Suspects. That's two bad opens in a row.
Sorry.
Get my tongue untied this afternoon.
Barry Warner came in with his shirt off.
And part
anything
of it is,
that happens after this is excused.
I'm reading tweets about that, and yes, I agree with you, Landon Steve, that my eyes need to be plucked out by that bird. And maybe that's where the chirp comes from. But yeah, he's God, that was awful.
It really was.
Man.
It really was.
You should not do that to people. Not drunk or sober.
Not live on air as well. Wow. I didn't know how to handle that.
Not at all. This one tweet, and I wasn't going to touch on it because I hadn't even thought of it as really of anything that serious. But it is kind of interesting, though, that Leonard Steve asked, you know, how pissed are the Rockets at the Texans after playoff game one? They get a whole Texas media day on the day of a playoff game because AJ is retired.
Right.
I was going to say, I don't think the Texans did that on purpose, but the NFL loves to steal the spotlight whenever and however it can. And it's a guy who's not playing.
Yeah.
A guy who retired in the middle of last season. This is April.
Yeah.
They could pick any day, any time whatsoever to do this. Why today?
It is interesting. He was at an Astros game the other day getting interviewed and talking it up and talking about how he's happy to be back in Houston. And I seem to recall there was a little bit of turmoil when he left. You know, it seemed like he was disenchanted with the city and the organization. And maybe that's just an assumption. But I looked at him and thought, well, at least he's forgiven everything that happened.
He'd done that before last season was over. He was on the sideline at the end of the season with his former teammates at Texans games late in the year. So he was, he'd moved on from that. That was a couple of years ago. Yeah, he moved on. So, but why now? I have no idea.
It's an interesting theory. I don't know if it was planned that way, but it wouldn't surprise
me. Well, you could do it on a Rockets off day.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew the Rockets schedule.
Yeah, you could have done it in March.
You know,
yeah.
Are the Texans thinking, hey, when, you know, 400,000 people or whatever open the paper tomorrow, Andre Johnson will be there instead of the Rockets.
But with a
they
week,
do that in New York.
Yeah.
They fight over the back page. They fight for the press. And there are people specifically who know for a fact that Jerry Jones gets upset when the Cowboys aren't front and center in the Dallas newspapers.
So they'll develop things to do.
It's part of the business.
That doesn't strike me as a Bob McNair way of doing things. You know what I mean? And maybe it is, or maybe it's not him. It's just the PR department
Owns the, you know, one of the wealthiest franchises in all of professional sports. That guy who doesn't know anything about business, that guy?
Yeah.
That guy who, you know, who wouldn't try to do anything to make his team more, you know, more valuable. Really? That guy?
Point taken.
Please. That guy.
You would know better than me. I'm not in there all the time.
He might be sly about it, but Bob McNair's about making that dollar.
He just seems kind of hurt that they're okay. Yeah, Look at me. I have a football team.
And I have a big mansion and I own racehorses and I got private jets and
Yeah. All right.
Oh, no. But I'm just a good old South Carolina boy. All I believe in is the Bible.
Yeah,
Jesus on the $100 bill, too. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. On the Aaron Hernandez deal, the first thing that popped up when I was listening to Mike this morning, I wonder if the Patriots are going to go through with the visit to the White House. That may have been the dumbest question
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, if the guy played on last year's team.
Yeah.
He was on the team that just won the Super Bowl and committed suicide now. I could see that.
But right.
He has nothing to do with this team. Nothing at all.
Couple years removed.
Several years.
I mean, that does seem kind of a weird thing to ask. I don't even know. Like, do you have to pause and have any kind of remorse for that? If this was just a guy, think about this. If this was just a guy who had murdered a couple of people, was found hanging in a cell, would anyone even think twice about pausing and remembering him? But this is the pedestal we put our athletes on. Is even as bad as the things that he's done, people still want to be like, well, now, you know, this is a sad moment. No, he's a murderer. Like, I don't feel sorry for him in any way, shape, or form. And I don't want to see him put on a pedestal. He killed people.
But nobody's put him on a pedestal. Who are these people you're hanging out with?
But there are people.
Who are these people you're reading? There's not one person. I challenge you to stand behind that ridiculous statement you just made and show me somebody who put him on a pedestal.
There are people that are going to say, if you make jokes about it or if you do it, that they're going to be like, well, you know, you shouldn't joke about that. Why? He murdered people. Like, what does it matter? You know, I mean, I know you were joking about me joking.
Yeah. But
there are people that would be offended by the things I've tweeted or said.
There are people who the loss of life is meaningful at all times. And it is sad. I do feel sadness for his daughter. His 4-year-old daughter
who's,
you know, all she knows about her dad is he's a murderer and now he's committed suicide. I feel sad for what her life is going to be and what she'll have to deal with. And the last time she saw him was in the courtroom the other day.
Right.
You know.
That so I agree with. That, but him?
Yeah,
but,
nah.
Nah,
I mean. Yeah,
I mean, bye.
Not at all.
I don't feel sorry for him.
And why would we?
Nope.
When we come back, special guest, comedian. We already have a comedian in the house, but we're going out to get a better one. I mean, another one. Sorry, my bad. I'm just tongue-tied today.
I understand.
This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
A little bit about me. I started trying to be funny in the sixth grade because I was bullied a lot, which was weird for a homeschool kid. My dad was just like, just keep it real, son. Life is hard. Clean that toilet after your swirly, queen.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back into the show. Now, joining us now on the HRNP hotline, local comedian Tim Mathis. You can check him out, all the info about him on Twitter. You can follow him at Tim Mathis Comedy, online at timmathiscomedy.com. Welcome to the show, Tim. How's life treating you this afternoon?
Life is going well. Having fun. Getting ready for this big show tomorrow. How are y'all doing today?
Good. We'll get into the show a little bit, but I know you, people who aren't familiar with it, I know you're a local guy, you're in town, I know you're a big Rockets fan, it seemed from your Twitter feed. What does a guy like you do on game night? Do you have any special underwear you wear? You know, you have to drink the same thing before a win or a loss? Are you wearing, you know, eating the same meal you ate on Sunday since they won by 31 points?
Well, usually I get together with a few friends and we hang out and watch the game. Now, as far as after a loss, if we do take a L, I usually take it pretty hard and might be drinking a little bit more after that. But hopefully we won't have to do that tonight.
Hey, now, Tim, you know, you and I have, I'll be honest with you, you were one of the first guys to ever even acknowledge that I was a comedian on stage. And you've been like that, man. I've been doing this for about 5 years now.
Aren't you still waiting for, like, the people in the audience to acknowledge you?
Yeah, that would be good. But Tim has always been a helping hand, man. So talk a little bit about how you got into comedy, because you were in the Navy before. And what drove you into doing stand-up?
Well, originally I wanted to do radio, and I had my own radio stuff for about 4 years, and then lost my radio job when our stations actually consolidated. So I lost my job, and I just went and did some stand up at a place called Sherlock's, where I think that's where you got your start too,
yep.
Barry.
Yep.
It used to be a really great open mic on Mondays, and it was basically the place where all the comics went. So. I Googled stand-up comedy open mics in Houston and went to Sherlock's, and they picked my name seventh. I thought I was going to get up really early. I ended up going up around 1:15 in the morning. So.
Yeah, such is the life. Now, you recently were on Heart of the City, a Kevin Hart show on Comedy Central. How did that go down? Because that's a big deal. I was explaining the other day that for comics to get a TV credit is a big deal for us. And how did that all happen, and how did you get picked and end up on the show?
Well, it was kind of a series of things. I had been doing a lot of shows with a local promoter named Al Freeman, and he's actually on my show tomorrow, a very funny guy. I ended up doing a show at the Houston Improv with Carlos Wallace, who was the promoter, and Rudy Rush, who was the headliner. Rudy saw me, and both he and Al Freeman put my name into Kevin Hart's people. And, you know, I had to submit a video, and they talked to me a little bit and everything. And after the selection process, I was lucky enough to be one of the four comics from this area to be on the show. So it went really well.
Now, we have Tim Mathis joining us here on The Usual Suspects. Now, there are people riding around in their car. You talked about doing it, but not why. So I know there are people riding around like, hey, I'm funny, and, you know, last woman I was dating said I'm funny, and the guys I work with all think I'm hilarious. What made you think comedy was your thing?
I've always been a huge comedy fan, and I always told myself that, you know, if the first couple of things that I tried to do didn't work out, then I would always try comedy. And, you know, after I got laid off from my radio job for about 2 months, I didn't have a creative outlet. And I'm sure you guys know, you know, when you're a creative person, you got to have something to channel that into. So for me, it was an easy choice to try comedy, and, you know, one thing led to another, and now it's my career. So I'm pretty happy with it. And, you know, if you're one of those people out there that thinks you're funny, the only way to find out if you're funny is to get on stage. So I would suggest getting on stage and trying it out.
And yeah, I always thought the first couple of things didn't work out for me. I was going to do that gigolo thing, but you know, I'm still on my first couple of things, so I guess I'll hold off.
Yeah, and
well, I've been short and bald since the 10th grade, so I'm pretty sure gigolo was out of the question for me.
Now, Tim, that's all you do now is comedy, right? Like, you just sit around watching Netflix all day, and then you go do comedy at night?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do a little bit more during the day sometimes, but, you know, it's pretty much Netflix and comedy. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, I feel you. Now, the other thing that people may not know about you that I've always found admired and found interesting is you have a very specific crowd that you work most of the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do in town, yep. Which is weird because I used to work a lot at the Improv, and it's kind of an urban club. It's most of their headline acts are African-American comics, and I'm really good with that crowd, so I would end up doing those a lot. Now, when I go on the road, I do mostly, you know, diverse crowds. Basically, they just put me with whoever the headliner is or whoever shows up, and so I can do all crowds. I mean, tomorrow is definitely going to be a diverse crowd because we got a diverse lineup, so, you know, it's pretty interesting. Yeah.
I'll say this though. There's nothing. I don't think there's anything more intimidating for a white comic to go to an all black room and get on stage and literally be the only white guy in the room. Like comics, crowd, everybody. It can be intimidating the first time you do that.
It is intimidating, but were you going to ask a question?
No, I was just going to say. I was going to say. Were you intimidated the first time? I mean, were you a little nervous about that?
I don't think I was, because when I was growing up, I mean, honestly, like most of my friends were either Hispanic or black. I had some white friends as well, but you know, I've never had a problem relating. Plus, when I was in the Navy, I was in the Mississippi, and a lot of people like to get stationed close to home, so we had a fairly large African-American community on our ship, and I never had a problem getting along with anybody. Now, it is kind of counterintuitive, though, because if you are the only white comic on a show of mostly, like, if you're the only white dude in the room, it's a lot easier, because if you just prove to that crowd that you're not scared and that you're funny within the first 30 seconds, then you're good to go.
Tim Mathis joining us here on The Usual Suspects. And you're a big Texans fan as well?
Yeah. Huge Texans fan.
I'm looking at, and right now, as we speak, the Texans are honoring Andre Johnson, who signed for a day and is retiring. There's a team photo. There's a photo because a lot of his former teammates came up there to join him. And from the picture that I see, I'm sure there's a wider frame. The only white guy is J.J. Watt. And he's right smack dab in the middle. He always manages to get his face right where the cameras are. Are you one of those guys who love them some JJ, or you're a little tired of JJ?
I love him. I think anytime you can watch somebody who is the best at what they do, especially, I mean, historically good the way he is, you know, if you just look at the fact that he won Defensive Player of the Year twice, he was, what, third in MVP voting. I mean, we haven't seen a defensive player that dominant in quite a while. So, you know, it's good for us that he's on the Texans. I would still even be a fan of his, though, if he was on another team. Obviously, not if it was somebody in the division or Dallas, but other than that, I would be a fan.
All right, well, tell us about the show. You got a show, a 420 show. It's weed-themed, I'm guessing. Unless it's just a weird April 20th show.
It's not necessarily weed themed. We're going to have everything, a little bit of everything. Now, it is 420, which is the weed holiday.
Yeah.
But we're going to have a good mix of comics on there. I'm going to be on there. And even though I do partake, I don't have a lot of material about weed.
Okay.
Just because, you know, I've only been smoking for about 2 years. But we also have a great headliner. His name's John Stringer. He tours all over the country. He is amazing.
Yeah, very
fun. Yeah, he's very good. We have some great local talent as well. Mitra Babin, who's very funny. Also, Al Freeman, as I mentioned earlier. And I just found out that Siddiqui Fuller is actually going to be on the show doing a guest spot as well. So
yeah, former Golden State Warriors mascot Siddiqui Fuller will be on the show.
Exactly, and he's been on Last Comic Standing and Comedy Central and stuff like that. So if you want to check out the show and come through, get some tickets, go to the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase website, and you can click on my link. If you click on the link, use the promo code JOINT, and you will get a discount on tickets. And you can also call the club at 281-481-1188.
Yeah, man. Well, have fun. Even though you didn't book me, I wish you a great show.
Well, you know, Barry, I mean, I've booked you so many times. You know, I'll get to you eventually.
I know, brother. I know. No one looks at me and thinks weed. They just think weird. So that's a different theme show. Are you going to do the show high, or are you going to wait till after? That's what I want to know.
I usually don't perform under the influence.
Okay, good.
When I used to drink a lot, too, I usually wouldn't be drunk on stage. I try to be professional about stuff like that.
Very good. So go to jokejointcomedyshowcase.com if you want to get tickets, and they can follow you on Twitter. How?
Follow me on Twitter at Tim Mathis Comedy, and I'll have a link on there as well. So if you want to just follow me on Twitter, click the link. Like I said, use that promo code JOINT. Go to the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase website or call 281-481-1188. Hope to see you there.
Appreciate it, man.
Hey, thank you, Barry. Y'all have a nice show.
All right.
Thanks, sir. And that's an indicator of the world in which we live. You know, like comedians 30, 40 years ago could make jokes about, you know, drugs or something. But before then, couldn't. And now he's just on the radio. Yeah, I'd do something illegal.
I've only
been doing it for 2 years. You know,
there's a weed. Every comedy club in this nation is going to have a 420 show, a weed theme. Mm-hmm. And some of these shows I know locally, they'll be getting high during the show in the green room. It literally becomes the green room.
And they used to arrest comics for cursing on stage.
Yeah, yeah. Lenny Bruce got arrested on stage for saying curse words. And this is where we're at now. We have weed-themed shows where no one gets bothered.
Yeah, and Bill Belichick is standing in front of the president, and one of them looks presidential. We'll be back in a minute with the usual suspects. I swear,
like the chef. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick and Barry here for sure. No Joel. Jerome Solomon subbed in this afternoon. 713-780-ESPN is your number. You can hit me on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. That's with the J and all O's on the Solomon. Barry, you are on Twitter.
Yep, at Barry is funny.
At Barry is funny.
That's about the average reaction to one of my shows.
Now, I am
fake laugh.
I am always fascinated by comedians and the, you know, stones that it takes to do what they do. And it's an amazing thing. Cause I was telling you, man, Tim, a lot of people think they're funny, and you know, I think I can be humorous. I can, you know, I like to laugh. I hope at times people laugh with me, but the idea that I'm there just to make everybody laugh.
Yeah.
I could probably do it,
right.
I think I'm a much better joke writer than performer, and I could help some guys because I kind of watch comedians and I go, man, I would have tweaked it this way, I would have put it that way, I could have really helped him smooth that joke out.
Right.
But then there are other people who are like, no, just get me on the stage and I can deliver it poorly. It's going to be funny because yep. I'm just that person.
Now, you know? Have you ever done, because I mean, you've been in media forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you done speeches? Have you done presentations?
Yeah. I do that all the time.
Have you done jokes in that?
Oh, yeah. You have to mix them in. Otherwise, otherwise your presentation is really bad.
Yeah.
So I do that. And,
okay.
And a lot of times, I mean, I get the audience really going. But
you ever have a joke
but
flop?
But that's an audience. Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Isn't that a fun feeling?
Flop. Yeah. You're like, and especially, and that's the thing about it. Maybe it's on a little flip-flop of it. It might be worse for a person like me when a joke flops.
Yeah.
Because you put together a speech with all of your real information, and you say, okay, I got about four little funny things I'll put in there, or three, you know, how many ever it is.
Right.
When one of those flops, you're like, well, that ain't.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Like, really?
Yeah.
Because you only put your best three things you could think of that's downright funny, and it ought to be hilarious, and nobody laughs. Whereas a comedian, yeah, you can flop with a joke. But
going.
It's rarely your killer, and you've got 25 of them, how many in there, you know.
Yeah.
Now, if your whole show is flopping, you know.
It happens.
That's got to be a bad night at the office.
Oh, it happens where you go up and just you and the crowd are not together or in sync. Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, and it can happen from the 8 o'clock show to the 10:30 show at the same club. Mm-hmm. You'll go in and you'll just kill the 8 o'clock show. And then 10:30 rolls around and it's just like, what happened? I mean, and it's literally, and it's the same set, same jokes and everything. So, yeah, fortunately, you know, those aren't as common as I think people think they are, but they happen. And they happen to the best of us, man. I mean, all the way up to, think of the funniest comedian that you can think of, and he bombs at least 20% of the time.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, you gotta be able to deal with the suffering and the pain of that. And that's the thing. And you're on your own. You're out there by yourself. It's not a team sport.
Yeah, here, if a bit goes wrong, you know, Nick or you or whoever's on the show with me can bail me out and be like, hey, let's go to break. Well, you know, out there, it's just you. And
bad bits on the radio can be downright funny.
That's the thing.
I mean, it works better on the radio that it's funny because the other people with you are laughing at you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas it's just an audience. They're like, why are you even up here?
And the worst is that you get that feedback. Like here, we get texts or whatever, but you know, half the time it's just people trolling. But that live feedback of everyone just staring at you blankly is pretty terrible.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, people riding their car going, y'all aren't funny.
Yeah, and it's you don't see that. Yeah, yeah, but that face-to-face stare is the worst. So, it can be disheartening. The Barry Warner pictures are out of control right now.
Yeah, people are adding in somebody now. What is this Gone Wild?
Yeah, there's a Grandpa Gone Wild that El Jefe made where he blurred out Barry Warner's genital area and put Grandpa Gone Wild.
I gotta text that to Barry.
It's pretty amazing.
That'll be in his funeral program.
Shock put him next to George the Animal Steel, and I can't tell the difference. Honest to God, I can't tell which one is the wrestler and which one is the radio guy. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that one. No.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's just you. And I see the one with the Raheel with the
in his underwear I don't need to see that
fifth grade. You know, gym schmucks that they used to only be blue. I don't know how he managed to make his red.
I don't know. I didn't need to see that picture.
Those were the gym shorts they had to wear in the 70s. Lord.
This show started bad, and I don't know that we're ever going to recover.
I don't think it's necessarily going to improve. And that's my goal, to keep it going downhill. Now, speaking of poorly written things and bad jokes, this wasn't even a joke. But on some level, I bet it was a joke because you can't be this stupid. Did you see the Adidas email that sent out? Adidas sent an email out to everyone who ran the Boston Marathon and finished the other day. And the headline of the subject from the email was, congrats, you survived the Boston Marathon.
Oh, I mean, dumb. Yes, but the outrage, I think, is, you know what they meant, right? Like, I mean, they meant.
No.
There's no reason to be upset about this.
No.
They're bad? Well, yes.
Well,
not outrage, though. Like, people are literally getting upset about this.
But if you lived in Boston.
Okay.
and that's the biggest sporting event in Boston, a sports town. It's huge. The whole world there shuts down for this event. It was attacked by terrorists. People died. There's a woman here in Houston who has a missing leg because she was there when it happened. And it was an emotional time. I mean, David Ortiz's moment before the baseball game and all of that. All of that is there for you to think that somebody's like, oh, you survived, and just a misuse of the phrase in that. The Boston Marathon, you can joke about Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
The Boston Marathon bombing is not funny in Boston.
But you have to think now, was that intentional, one? Which I don't think it is.
You know it was.
No.
You know he was a Yankee fan, the guy
no.
or the woman who wrote this.
No.
You know doggone well that person is from New York, Philadelphia, or Chicago, not from Boston.
No.
But that's how the Boston people are thinking.
Probably that's probably true. But, I mean, because I could see where you would write something like that, because have you ever ran a marathon?
Hell no.
Sometimes you literally survive the marathon.
You run a marathon?
I have run a marathon. Yeah, uh-huh. Absolutely. And it's not easy.
But some marathons take a little bit more to survive.
This is true. But
and that's not funny. That's my point.
But I don't think that they meant to say that. I think it was poorly worded, and it should have gone through several layers of editing.
Well, but
someone in Adidas had to go. You know what?
I mean, I'm from the newspaper world, so I know we couldn't put a headline up. You know, the Boston Marathon is done, and nobody died this year. No, you can't do that.
Yeah, I know.
And people are outraged because people get outraged about everything. There's no outrage for me, but I'm also not emotionally involved in it.
I could see where like you brought up the lady that. She lost her leg in it. I could see where that would seem insensitive.
Yeah.
Where I would, but you also have to think about who in their right mind would want this kind of PR, this negative PR, and intentionally do this.
Yeah. And
sometimes accidents happen.
That's why that person is going to get fired, because that person did it on purpose.
No, I don't believe that.
That person's back there going,
unless.
Look what I did.
They just took a job with Nike. Then I could maybe.
On the way out the door.
Yeah, they're like, you know what? Let me fire off this last congrats email, and then I'm gone.
No, I mean, people are not very intelligent. I mean, some people, you know, do those kind of things. And they try to be cute. And they think it was cute. You know, they try to mix them together. But it's not only just too soon. It's, you know.
Yeah,
a major corporation, they don't have time to play that kind of game.
Definitely needed better editing, but I'm not going to say that it was intentional. I just don't.
Yeah, but that's because you think everything's fine.
I
will also tell you, people in Boston right now are upset that Aaron Hernandez committed suicide because he's taking away from the Patriots Day at the White House. That's how crazy these people are.
Kind of like Andre Johnson and the Rockets?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I see what's going on here, NFL.
But nobody cares about Andre Johnson or the Rockets nationally. But the Patriots and
they're mad at him.
And Aaron Hernandez taken away from the Rockets' big night. Where they're going to lose game two tonight.
What?
We'll talk about that when we come back. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 975. Say after me.
ESPN 97.5.